Ramsey TV.
I'm going to delve into the darkest corners of your deepest soul today. I hope you don't mind. I'm really not asking your permission. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to expose you today in front of everyone and myself at the same time. Because, oh, this is Martin Zender, by the way, and you're at MZTV. Because deep down, we have doubts. Maybe only two. Or maybe only 2% of our being. Some days it comes up, some days it stays down. But some days, don't you? You wonder if you're even called. You wonder if maybe the evolutionists are true. Maybe there was a big bang and all this just happened to be spewn out in a great cosmic accident. And maybe the Bible was written by a cousin of William Shakespeare. Is there really a God? We haven't seen him. Ooh, this is nasty, isn't it? I mean, I told you I was going deep and dark. I told you. But I'm going to show you a passage of scripture today that's going to comfort you concerning this. And the worst thing you can do is to let Satan get a hold of those fears and build them out of proportion. These fears, doubts, I should say, are normal. Because in a walk that is based on faith, not perception, there's not perception. And we as humans tend not to trust things we don't perceive. I am going to show you a scripture, two scriptures, in fact, but one in particular, where somebody who even did see things doubts. And why is this in the scriptures? For us. I'm going to show you another place in the Gospel of Mark, a very odd statement that seems random, gratuitous, and yet it's there for us. Why is the account of Thomas in there? I can't believe that Jesus raised from the dead, even though he walked with the man, saw all the miracles, saw Peter walking on water, heard a firsthand account of the transformation on the mount, heard the prophecies, saw everything taking place in front of his eyes, and then after the resurrection says, I don't believe it. Thomas, one of the disciples. Why is this account in there? Someone said to me, Martin, prove to the Bible, prove it's the word of God. How do you know it's not written by a man? How do you know it's not written by normal humans, not under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? And my answer is simple. If this had been written by human beings, it would have put a much better light on human beings. This account, the entire scriptures, is an embarrassment to the human race. The human race would not write of itself, there is no one righteous, no, not one. The human race would not put its holy men, like Thomas, up to ridicule when they don't believe the very prophecies of the Son of God who chose them as disciples. And then there's Peter, who betrays the Lord three times after the Lord predicted he would do it. This account is full of weak, stupid, helpless people. And again, if this had been a production written by a human being, a regular human being, not being inspired by the Holy Spirit, it would put a much better light on the human race. So I don't want you to fear these doubts that you have. And see, I know you have them. Don't talk about them. That's it. That's all I'm going to say about them. Except for this. The deepest one is there really a God? I mean, this is my worst one. I'm going to confess this to you. This is my worst one. I hate to even say this. I really do. Now I'm second-guessing myself whether I should. All right, I'll do it. I get this crazy idea once in a while that what if it's just all a big joke and that God is really this horrible, terrible, mean creature, and to play a trick, he puts on this facade of a merciful, caring, saving. That's all I can say about it. That's all I can say. That's absolutely horrible. I don't really believe that. But you get these creeping, stupid doubts, like you had when you're a kid that there's a monster under the bed. Or if you like to read Dr. Seuss books, there's a Jurtin behind the curtain. There's a Zug under the rug. It was a Vug under the rug. What was under the chair? Oh, the Gear. Yeah, the Gear was under the chair. These nightmare ideas you had, they're totally fictitious, totally false, totally phantoms of the imagination. Well, we have them as adults too, only now the stakes are higher. We're talking about, is there really a creator of the universe? Of course there is. Of course there is. But let me give you a comforting verse from Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to start with verse 1. And it came when Jesus finishes prescribing his 12 disciples that he proceeded thence to be teaching and heralding in their cities. Now John, this is John the Baptist. Now John, hearing in the prison, John has been arrested by Herod. He's in a prison, not a nice place. Hearing in prison of the works of Christ, sending through his disciples, that is John's disciples, said to him, "Are you the coming one, or should we be hoping for a different one?" Now, this really blew my mind. The fact that John, an intimate and relative of the Lord Jesus Christ, should be having doubts about whether he is the disciple. But there he is, wondering in the jail if Jesus is really the Christ. And answering, Jesus said to them, that is to the emissaries, "Take this information back to John. Go report to John what you are hearing and observing." Let me remind you, this John is the cousin of Jesus Christ. His mother was Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So while Jesus was still in the womb of Mary, she goes to cousin Elizabeth's. I'm sorry, I said she was her sister. I get lost on the family trees. Elizabeth and Mary are not sisters. They're cousins. Cousin Elizabeth. So she goes over to, that makes, how the hell are John and Jesus related then? They're cousins too. Well, second cousins? I don't know. They're all related. And they were close, obviously. They hung around together. And it would not have been a secret that Mary had been supernaturally impregnated. John knew this. And he himself heard the voice from heaven. Jesus came to him. This is the beginning of his public ministry. So I'll cut John a little slack here. But the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus goes to the Jordan River, is baptized. John says, "This is the one." He sees the dove land on his shoulder. Okay, well, maybe it was that could have been, maybe he put some sugar cubes on his shoulder or something. But then he hears the voice from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And John is in the prison hearing of the works of Christ. So even though he didn't see them directly, he's hearing of them. And it would have been completely consistent because he grew up with the kid. And he knew that, the stories were told him of the supernatural impregnation. Talk about a health class, talk about having the talk. John, it's time to have the talk concerning your cousin Jesus. Are you the coming one? Or this was the one. The Holy Spirit told him it was the coming one. He announced it. "Behold, the Lamb of God who's taking away the sins of the world." What happened to that? He doubted his own words. He thought, maybe that was just me. I'm telling you, for real. I like to go into the minds of these people. I like to go to the real scene. I like to look into that prison. And John's thinking to himself. This is what he's thinking to himself. Yeah. That wasn't... When I said, lo, the Lamb of God who's taken away the sins of the world, when he came to the river that day, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. I know that was the Spirit of God because it came without any forethought on my part. And he's trying to remember it. He's reviewing the whole day in his mind. And then he said, and the bird, I think it was a dove. I'm not too good on birds, but I think it was a dove, landed on his shoulder. And then that voice, the booming voice out of nowhere from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So obviously, and then he rocks back and forth like this. He goes, but maybe I came up with that. Maybe that was me that said, behold the Lamb of God. Maybe it's just that I wanted him to be the Lamb of God. So he's just stewing in prison, stewing. And he hears reports about what Jesus is doing. And again, he knew about the virgin birth, but this is what he's saying about that. This is what he's saying about that. Oh, yeah, I like Mary. I like Mary. And I'm sure that the angel probably talked to her and everything, but it would have been a pretty good excuse to get out of an adultery charge. I mean, she was engaged to Joseph, and, you know, let's say, I mean, if she had had sex with another man, I mean, what better way to cover it than, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Oh, sure you are. Yeah, but no, and then he's, no. But he has to be doubting even that. This is a guy who lived and breathed it. So he didn't see the acts, but he's hearing about them in prison. And he says, are you the coming one? Because he began to doubt his own words, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He began to doubt the testimony of his own mother. He began to doubt the testimony of his relative Mary. He began to doubt the very testimony of Jesus Christ. He doubted everything, the voice from heaven. Maybe there's a loudspeaker up in the trees. Are you the coming one? Or should we be hoping for a different one? In answering, Jesus said to them, how could the guy have any doubts? Where's his faith? I don't believe this, numbnuts. I grew up with the kid. He knows everything. Nope, Jesus didn't say that. Answering, Jesus said to them, go report to John what you are hearing and observing. The blind are receiving sight, the lame are walking, lepers are being cleansed, and the deaf are hearing, and the dead are being roused, and to the poor, the evangel is being brought. So Jesus is sympathetic toward the unbelief of his own cause. He's sympathetic. He understands. Because we're human beings. And it is so gracious of God to have provided these miracles. I mean, we do believe by faith, but our faith is based on things. Do you understand that, right? Faith is not based on nothing. And God knows this. You can't base faith on nothing. Our faith is based on these accounts that Jesus Christ raised people from the dead. So we're supposed to go, that's pretty good, that's pretty good. Give sight to the blind. Wow, yeah, nobody's ever done that before. So God is helping our faith constantly, or helping our lack of it, I should say. And he's giving these things to his son to do. It's not only, of course, it was for Israel at the time, but it's not only for them, it was for us. Israel, a sign is seeking, of course. So they needed that, and God is sympathetic. They need stuff. I'm sorry, you got to give us something. Throw us a bone here. Throw us a bone. Okay, how's this? Peter walks on water. That's a good one. Transfigured on the mount, appears with Moses and Elijah, who are dead at the time, but this is a vision of the future when he comes into his kingdom. Not bad. I like that one. Can we see a replay? Poor John, he's tormented in prison, tormented, having doubts, doubting everything. And I guess that happens when you're down and out. It's like, wait a minute, I'm the forerunner. And Jesus himself is going to say concerning John back in chapter 11 of Matthew, Matthew, how great John was. Not among those born of women has there been roused a greater than John the Baptist. None among those born of women. Let's see, who's the exception to that? Anybody here not born of a woman? No? Okay, John's greater than you, greater than you, greater than you, greater than you, greater than you. And so this great guy has his doubts. This guy even. That's comforting to me. And And Jesus understands it. Like I said, there's another great passage. And John, I think they took the word back to John. John got his head back on straight. So, okay, right. And then he was probably embarrassed. But he shouldn't have been. But that dude's in the day. That's what I'm saying. We're 2,000 years removed from the day. So can we cut ourselves some slack? I think we should. I'll close with this here. Mark 9. Jesus speaking of the unbelieving generation in verse 19. Till when shall I be with you? Till when shall I bear with you? And they were considering a man who was obsessed by a demon, a demoniac. Bring him to me, Jesus said. And they bring him to him. And perceiving him, the spirit straightway violently convulses him. Yeah, the spirits, the evil spirits inside this demoniac recognized the presence of Christ and they went nuts. Yeah, they started cavorting within the guy's body, bouncing off the thoracic cavity, up and down the spine, back and forth across the wings of the pelvis. They were just going nuts. And falling on the earth, he wallowed, frothing. Now the spit's coming out of his mouth, poor guy. And he inquires of his father, how much time is it since this has come to him? Jesus himself is looking at this going, ugh. God, that's nasty. How long has it been this way? And the guy says, from a little boy. And it often causes him to cast himself in the fire also and into the water. Like these demons are constantly trying to get somewhere else. But in the meantime, while doing it, they're destroying their host, destroying this guy. Jesus said to him, oh, here it is. Here it is. And often cast him into the fire that should be destroying him. So the guy, the father of the demoniac looks at Jesus Christ and he says, but if you are in any way able, help us, having compassion on us. He's desperate. He probably says it with tears. Now Jesus said to him, why the if? Ooh, that's a good one. Why the if? A little probing, a little sharp, little ouch there from the Savior of the world. Why the if? If you're able, why the if? But wait till you see what happens next. Why the if you are able to believe? It's a relative phrase. No one's able to believe, absolutely speaking. God had to give this guy belief. But Romans 12:3, God parts to each the measure of faith or of belief. Same word in the Greek. So this guy had only a measure. God purposely keeps us from getting the whole wad, the whole load. He does not dump the mother load of faith on us because he wants us to have partial belief. He wants these doubts to creep in. Not debilitating ones, but enough to realize that I'm still walking by faith here and I need help. And this guy needs help. Jesus said to him, you're able to believe. All is possible to him who is believing. And you hear that in the Pentecostal camps. Oh, you have to have faith. You have to have faith. And if you don't have enough faith, then whatever you want to happen, it won't happen. And if you cast a demon out of someone, or if you try to fix somebody's broken arm and it doesn't happen, it's your fault. You just didn't have enough faith. All is possible to him who is believing. So if it ain't happening, then there's something wrong with your believing. So as soon as he heard this, all is possible to him who is believing. And he heard it, the father of this guy, from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Straight away crying, the father of the little boy said with tears, I told you, tears. I am believing. And then this, help my unbelief. Wow, I am believing. I am believing. And then he was getting a little ahead of himself. It was optimistic. It was fake it till you make it. But then he couldn't stand it himself. And he says, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. That was so beautiful. And what did Jesus do? Well, he helped his unbelief. He cast demons out. And it was a happy day. And I'm sure they invited Jesus in the lunch. And the guy said, help my unbelief. And Jesus said, no, that was great. That was great. And the guy said, well, at least nobody else will know I ever said that. And then Jesus winked at Matthew. He's like, yeah, no one else will ever know. Yeah, 2,000 years from now, some guy on the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula is going to be analyzing it, talking about it on an Apple computer and broadcasting it on a weird thing called YouTube. Can you imagine telling this guy, the father of the kid, don't worry, it's just going to be on YouTube. Well, he's embarrassed. Nah, it's Jesus is at lunch. Well, at least nobody will know that I doubted. No, dude, it's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be YouTube someday. But the guy is a testimony. He's a testament that Jesus Christ did not condemn him for admitting, help my unbelief. We all have, is what I'm saying, some unbelief inside of us. Face it. It's real. That's okay. It's not your fault. How can it be when God parts to each the measure of faith and he decided only to give you so much? Don't let it grow to some terrible monster. No. Just accept it. It happens to the best of them. John the freaking Baptist here and the father of this demoniac who got immortalized in the words of Scripture and on YouTube.